friends. Welcome to a very special episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, coming at you in the midst of our Advent series with a very special Christmas party episode. I'm really happy to be here with you today, and we have got a great show in store. Before we dive into today's conversation, I want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Things I think we all have in common. We want to take good care of ourselves, right? We want to optimize our immune systems, please, especially during cold and flu season. And we want more energy. Well, great news. Athletic Greens can help you with all of that, and me too. One delicious scoop of Athletic Greens mixed in cold water will deliver 75 high-quality vitamins and minerals, superfoods sourced from whole foods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients that supports your immune system and nervous system. It helps your gut health and can enhance your energy, your recovery, and your focus. Stay focused, everybody. Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. Using Athletic Greens is just a little habit, but it has big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. You are worth that. And who has the time or extra money to try to get all the different supplements yourself? Not I. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially during this flu and cold season. It's just one scoop in a cup of cold water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving my friends a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/soundsfun. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/soundsfun to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And just a reminder that all the links to our sponsors, the transcript of the shows, our weekly email newsletter, the AFD Week in Review, and all the details about our Advent series, all those links are conveniently available in the show notes, so check it out. Today on the show, we have a return visit from one of our favorite little elves. It's our sweet friend, Ellie Holcomb. She's been on the show four times, way back on episode 27, and on our 2018 Christmas party, episode 211, episode 307. I'm just so glad she's back because she's been working on something that I think we all need this Christmas season, a new kids book. It's called Sounding Joy, and a musical companion to it called Sing Christmas Songs. It's asking the question, what does joy sound like? And it is the absolute sweetest book, you guys, whether through her solo albums, her books for grownups, or her books and music for kids. Ellie's voice and who she is, she's just a light everywhere she goes. So, especially as we are in the midst of our Advent series and we move into the week of joy starting on Monday, Ellie was the perfect person to have a Christmas party episode with today. So, here's my conversation with our friend, one of your favorites, one of my favorites too, Ellie Holcomb. Amen. We quit podding without praying. It in working. We got to pray. Matters too much. Matters too much. Yeah. I mean, we just don't start without praying anymore.
Oh, I love that so much.
Right? Doesn't it just matter to you? Talk to me about how your prayer life has changed in the last couple of years.
Oh, I love that question. Something that God is teaching me right now. And this will resonate with you as a fellow seven.
Yes.
But you can move and be still at the same time.
Oh, wow. Please talk about this. This is huge for me.
You can move and be still at the same time. It's huge for me, too. I have a really hard time resting. I feel like I'm actually about—I was just actually thinking. I was like, I'm going to go basically listen to everything Annie Downs has to say about Sabbath.
You're like, if that seven can
do
it.
I've caught different things of that. But there is like a deep longing that is rising up within me to try to be still, to listen. And so I'm like, and the word God gave me for this last year, which I don't always do a word for the year, and love you if you do, love you if you don't.
That's
but
right.
But this year I was asking God, you know, or last New Year's or whatever, what word do you have for me? And he was like, rest. And I was like, that's hilarious because I'm about to go on tour. What in the? And so later on in the year, I get this kind of, this beautiful image, and it keeps happening over and over again. You can move and be still at the same time.
So what does that look like for you? For me, my best praying is when I'm stomping around the rich neighborhood next to my neighborhood. I mean, that is like when I am going through. A couple weeks ago, a lady asked me what trash day was, and I was like, that is so sweet that you think I live here. I live over there.
I live over there, yeah.
But that is what, I mean, I haven't had language for, like you're saying, but I'm moving, but I'm still.
That's right.
My spirit is still.
Your spirit is still.
So will you talk, what does that look like for you? How are you seeing that play out?
Yeah, so the first time that I was praying and kind of felt God kind of dropping breadcrumbs for me to lead me in this direction, I was at the beach. And it was so, and I was taking a walk.
Yeah.
And I am amazed by how, when I look at water or get next to water, which is a lot of times moving in one way or another, rivers,
always.
Streams,
yes.
yeah, oceans, or raising back up to the sky. I mean, it just is, there's movement in water.
Living water.
Living water, that's right. And so whenever I get around water, there's something that like, calms down within my soul. And so I was actually standing, you know, when you stand next to the waves and the water washes up and you're kind of like sinking deeper in the sand.
Yes.
It was like, God was like, see?
Wow.
You're being still, but you're moving,
but
and you're actually
deeper.
Grounding.
Yes.
You're grounding
yes.
yourself. And so it has been a really beautiful thing to pray as I go. And I was even on a walk with my little boy this morning, Rivers. He's learning to walk our dog, Dolly Parton, and, which is terrifying because I'm like, she could run off and you could run off. So we're just practicing on really not busy streets. And so we were praying and he goes, Mom, I'm going to say a little prayer. And we are both walking, learning how to walk a dog.
Yeah.
And he is just saying this little prayer of gratitude. And that is not his MO. I mean, he's just like always on the go. And I feel like God continues to remind me, see, you can move and be still at the same time. And so prayer has been a quieting of my soul, even in the chaos that is all around.
And I want to make a distinction for us because I don't think you can work and be still. I think you can move and be still.
Yeah.
Because I don't want our friends to hear, so while you're doing the dishes or while you're, I don't think that's the same.
Yeah.
I think moving your body and getting yourself going, like you and River this morning, y'all can, Rivers. Sorry.
Double portion.
That's it. Double portion. Oh my gosh. I have a great double portion for you story in a second. The thing we get to practice as people is how do I figure out movement that's not work?
Oh, it's so good. It's
right?
so good. That's right.
Because it's a river, not a tightrope.
Yep.
You can try, but go like, oh man, yesterday I ran while I was praying and my watch was measuring my steps and I realized this was work, not rest.
Mm.
You know? And so
having
that separation.
And that is different. One of the other things that happened to me when I sort of started, I don't know, it feels like a journey, the move and be still thing for me. But I was at the beach and I know, or the song or whatever it is.
Yes,
I'm like,
oh,
this is fun. This is a fun breadcrumb trail to follow. But I had a paddleboard. It's like one of my favorite things to do, to be on the water, to feel really small and feel held by something big, which is the reality.
It's what you
for
got for your birthday.
Us. It's what I got for my birthday.
Every friend, every one of
Thank
us
you,
that you've ever
way.
Been friends with, we all got you a paddleboard. I was like, bless.
Yeah, but honestly, I threw it right in my pool and jumped on. I was just like, this is amazing. But it's true. I love being on a paddleboard. And this amazing stranger, which I love so much, swam out and a storm was coming in, so the waves had started to get
out
bigger.
Out here on the lake?
No, this was actually in the ocean. I was at the beach.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
With friends. And so she swam out and she was like, I'm from Cali. She was like, you need to be surfing this. And like, my dream is to be a surfer. I've only done it once.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I'm from California and you just need to be surfing these waves. And I was like, no, ma'am. This is not a surfboard. It's a paddleboard.
Yes,
it's an SUP.
Yes.
Like, this isn't the same. She was like, you can surf anything anywhere. And I was like, what?
They're so much cooler than us.
They're
California
so much cooler.
Women, y'all are
like,
so cool.
Okay, teach me your ways.
Yeah.
And so she helps me start looking for ways. Anyway, it was amazing. And I end up surfing that whole day. I think I got up like 30 different times. It didn't look that cool, but it was so fun. And I felt this reminder, see, you can move and be still.
Wow.
And when you're surfing, you're standing still. You are grounded. You're having to
you're
be super
so
connected.
Grounded. Wow.
But the water underneath you is moving you. And so that is sort of what I'm wanting to lean into with prayer is let God carry me wherever he wants me to go in conversations with my kids, with my neighbors, with the people who are checking me out at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And to let him kind of lead that and then to be grounded in that that connection with him, to just ask God, what do you have for me today?
Yes.
What do you have for me today? And kind of go inward and listen to whatever invitations that he's giving me.
I mean, that's what we're talking about in Advent, is like, what are our surfboards that can hold us and take us into next year?
That's right.
Right? I mean, it is Jesus. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
It is.
That's what takes us into, when we can't control the waves, we can certainly handle what we're standing on.
That's
we can
right.
certainly ground ourselves with something.
With something. And I you know, half the time that's like a couple of deep breaths for me.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that with my kids. You know, Rivers is the double portion baby. He is wild. He has big feelings and big energy. I mean, he woke up the other day, you know, it's like still dark outside.
Yeah.
And Emmylou and Huck, our olders, had like crawled into bed with us. We're just snuggling. He walks up, he's fully dressed with goggles on his head, and he goes, "Good morning, it's science time." I mean, he just wakes up like ready to go. I mean, we were like, oh my gosh, what have you done downstairs?
I mean, neither you or Drew are built like that.
Not exactly.
And so is it like, how did we make that?
It is a little, I mean, I have like big energy.
Yeah, certainly.
But he has like big energy in a football player's body.
Yes,
do you know what I'm saying? So he's like physical too. So anyway, I was asking God about him. I was like, God, I just need you to, because sometimes he scares us, because he'll run out the door. Our friends drove by the other day. They're like, they text us. They're like, "Hey, just so you know, Rivers is on the roof of Drew's truck outside."
Oh my gosh,
we were
Ellie.
Like, what? We had cousins over. There were a lot of kids in the house. And so it's like scary sometimes to parent him, but I do not want to parent out of fear. I don't want to parent out of, I don't want to live out of fear. I know fear can teach us a lot, but I want to let joy and love drive my life and hope drive my life, not fear. And so this sense of we can parent, we can work, we can do the things that God has called us to do. We can play.
Yeah.
And we can be grounded in something that runs deeper and that's steadier than all of that.
Yeah. Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to share about one of our amazing partners, Everlywell. There is no better way to say I love you than by taking care of each other. That's why giving the gift of information and health is so meaningful. And with Everlywell, you can find 30 plus at-home lab tests, vitamins, supplements, and more for everybody on your holiday list. Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you with personalized results and accessible tools for long-term health. With over 30 at-home lab tests and high-quality vitamins and supplements, you'll be able to find the perfect test for you or your loved ones. There's a sleep and stress test, one to check for food sensitivities, and a cholesterol and lipid test. And these are only a few of the options they offer. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships products straight to you or your loved one with everything needed in one package. If you ordered an at-home lab test, the sample can be simply collected at home and shipped back to the certified lab in a prepaid envelope that's included with your test. My experience with Everlywell was seamless, you guys. Everything I needed was included. The directions were really simple to follow. I was so thankful for the information I gained. They send your digital physician-reviewed results straight to your preferred device in literally days. And you can add your new vitamins and supplements to your daily routine right away. It's so simple. Over a million people have trusted Everlywell to support their health and wellness goals. And now you can help your loved ones do the same. The gift of health has never been easier to share than it is this holiday. For friends of our show, Everlywell is offering a discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/thatsoundsfun. That's everlywell.com/thatsoundsfun for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/thatsoundsfun. And I want to tell you about another one of our incredible partners, Third Love. Okay, what is the deal with this? Some of the prettiest bras are the opposite of comfortable, and the super comfortable ones are not so pretty. Why can't we have both? Well, Third Love says, what if we came up with a third way? So they spent years researching and designing the perfect bras that feel just as good as they look. And they're created by women for women, which I am interested in. Their t-shirt bras are the actual best, you guys. My favorite bras, technically. And the fitting room quiz. We love a quiz. Makes it so easy to get your sizing just right. Third Love takes a data-driven approach. They found that 50% of women are in between sizes. So they invented half cups and carry more than 60 sizes, everything from A to H. And with tagless labels, slip-free straps, and fabric that feels so luxurious, they have upped the game in all the ways. But maybe my favorite thing about them is while they're creating our favorite bras, they're also giving back. Third Love is the largest donor of undergarments in the U.S., donating over $40 million of bras to people in need by partnering with organizations all across the country. So break that bad bra cycle. Come on, break it with Third Love and join their club of more than 10 million happy customers. Take the fitting room quiz and get 20% off your first order at thirdlove.com/soundsfun. That's 20% off when you shop now at thirdlove.com/soundsfun.
Hey guys, it's Dave Barnes from Dadville. And what sounds fun to me this Christmas is Christmas lights. I love Christmas lights. It's like a Pavlovian response to my body when I see them. I just start getting all giddy and excited. Christmas music. And some of you are like, well, what Christmas music, Dave? I'd say John McLaughlin albums. Because are you kidding me? Come on, guys. We want high quality music, and that is high quality audio. So lots of Christmas music. And I just love being with the fam. It's such a sweet season to stay in, get the fire going, watching Christmas movies, listen to some Christmas jams and them Christmas lights, you know? So yeah, I think that's what I'm excited about.
Hey, this is John McLaughlin from Dadville. And what sounds fun to me this Christmas is just being at home, listening to some Harry Connick Jr. You know what? No. Listening to some Dave Barnes Christmas albums. There are a couple out there. Get them at the link in our profile. And just being with my family. I am on tour in December playing a bunch of Christmas shows. And this year, I only have a couple shows, so I'm going to be around. So I just want to like be in the kitchen making like cookies or something with my girls. The house is a mess. And Dave Barnes is just singing to us.
And now back to our conversation with Ellie. I don't know a thing that my friends are walking through that is more refining than parenting. I mean, all of y'all. I'm like, yo, that is not just raising children to adulthood. That is like every day is course correction.
Yeah.
Not like 180 degrees, but two
yeah,
or
that's
six
right. That's
or
right.
40. But y'all have to watch three courses every day and course correct constantly.
Yeah. That's it. And it is like a lot of, it is super humbling. It is a beautiful reminder all the time that we are kids. We're all just lost kids trying to make our way, find our way back home.
Yes.
And so I think being a parent of kids is hard and is exhausting as it is. I think the beautiful part of it is it's reminded me that I'm a kid, and it's helped me remember what it's like to be a kid and kind of get back to that, I don't know, that true self. We all come here like exactly as God intended, you know, fully whole. And then we all get broken along the way. And so finding that way back to that belovedness that I don't know that we forget as we get older and we break things.
Yeah. I always get yelled on the internet if I say something like, I'm going to tell you my double portion story, and then I forget to do
it. Oh, come on.
So I've got to tell you, I've had my finger crossed so I didn't forget. I was in Israel last week. Have you been to Israel yet? I can't remember.
I haven't been yet. I saw you there.
Can we go together?
I would love it so much.
Okay. We need to go together. I would pay for your trip to watch you experience Israel because I think it would be the most beautiful. I can't wait. It's going to be beautiful to watch it. Let me tell you about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, to get from where they have the shops down to where the water is about a 200 feet decline in elevation.
Okay.
Because the Dead Sea is dying, actually. It's a very fascinating thing because it's shrinking. And so from where they built the shops originally and where you like gather and shower is a long way now from the Dead Sea.
Oh my goodness.
So you need to picture, and it's a downhill walk to get to the water, and it is uphill for 11 minutes to get back. Okay, double portion. That morning, Ree, our pastor's wife, my friend Ree, prays that the Lord would give us a double portion. We go to the Dead Sea. I walk down with all of our friends. I don't get in. It's fine. I think it's one and done. If you do it and you love it, do it again. If you do it and don't love it, don't do it again. I don't love it. It was great, but I did it a few years ago.
Love it.
A friend of mine hands me his phone and his towel to hold while he's jumping in. I set it down and I go back up and I totally forget that I've just set his phone down at the Dead Sea. And I'm like,
you don't get to say that every day.
No, I just set his phone down at the Dead Sea. And as I start walking back down, isn't it just like the Lord, speaking of him laughing with us, as I'm walking those yards back down, the Lord's like, this is kind of your double portion. You're getting to walk this walk twice because you were irresponsible with somebody else's stuff. And I got back up and I said to Reed, well, there's my dad. Because I got back down there and he had found it and was fine. And I'd said it with our group. I hadn't just like thrown it in the water.
Right.
But I was like, I'm so sorry. That was so irresponsible. He was like, no, I saw you put it down. And I was like, well, I'll just walk back up now. Like, there's my double portion at the Dead Sea.
Double portion at the Dead Sea. All the steps.
All the steps. Why haven't you been yet? I'm kind of surprised.
Well, honestly, we have intended to go several times.
Yeah.
And our life is just crazy. I mean,
the kids.
The management of the kids and the touring.
Yeah.
And both parents touring, it just hasn't, like the timing hasn't worked out. And then COVID, you know, some things
certainly
got put on hold.
Yes.
But we really want to go.
You will lose your mind when you're like, so like I got to help baptize people in the Jordan.
Oh my goodness.
I mean to tell you, I could weep telling you about it. We have to like not be, I can't make you my Ellie right now. I have to make you Ellie Holcomb that I'm talking to. Because if I tell my Ellie, we're puddles on the ground. So Ellie Holcomb, let me tell you what it is like. I mean, you're just going to love it.
Oh,
it's unbelievable. I think everybody needs to go.
Yeah.
Before, I'm like, don't wait till you're retired.
Don't wait till the Dead Sea's gone.
Thank you. Hurry. Dead Sea's dying. Oh, it's terrible. Okay, so one of the things I loved about Israel is being where Jesus grew up, where he was born, and I'm going, oh, this is like the original Christmas story. We are here. So, Ellie, I mean, that's why we're
OG
talking
Christmas
about Santa. Yes, it was the OG Christmas spot. It's where it all began. So I just love talking about Christmas.
I do. I love it.
I mean, it's just, it is, Jesus is unbelievable.
I know.
Right?
I still am, sorry, I'm in awe.
I know.
Of the story. It is crazy. It is so audacious of God to come in the way to come in the way that he did.
Yes.
I'm like, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that.
You made that so hard on yourself.
So crazy.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Everybody's looking for a king and he sends a child into the arms of a teen mom, basically.
Yes.
It is on the wrong side of the tracks. It is like
in the middle of a time when the king decides to kill every baby that age.
Right.
So his life is at risk. Jesus' life was at risk constantly. We just never think about that. His life was at risk all the time.
It is, and you're like, ooh, really, that timing? Like, you could have chosen.
Yeah.
You know, you did choose. Oh, you chose that time to enter into that chaos and that brokenness.
Yes.
And to come small.
Yes.
And I think as I talk to my kids about this story, and you know, as a parent, it is so crazy in the holidays. And it's part of why I wrote this book, is because I found myself wanting, this is like one of my favorite stories. Mm. There, but I also love the magic and the wonder. There's so much story around Christmas or around this season.
Yeah.
There's Santa and there's Elf on the Shelf, and Elf is my favorite movie. I love Buddy the Elf.
Right,
I feel
right,
like
right.
a female version of
yes.
Buddy the Elf.
Yes.
And so I love all of that sort of like the cultural hullabaloo and hustle and bustle of Christmas. But there is also this magic story of angels and shepherds and babies and animals and a star in the sky and these like people who are following the stars. There's this like magical story full of wonder. And so I found myself as a parent trying to balance those two stories. I'm like, yeah, so Santa comes because to give gifts because it's Jesus' birthday. And that's why we all give gifts and trying to mix the two together. And so it's been a really, I wanted to write a book that had all of that magic and that wonder of the season, but that tied it into, I think, the most beautiful story that I know.
Yes.
The story of God saying, I'm not out to get you. I'm out to draw you near.
Yes.
I'm out to remind you that, like, there's good news. There's glad tidings of great joy.
Yeah.
That shall be for all the
people. For all people.
And we're reminded that we have a home.
Yes.
It's the story. I can't remember if we talked about that story of the mom who had a 3-year-old and then a newborn.
No.
And she can't find the three-year-old. She puts a newborn down for a nap. Yeah. She's cleaning up from lunch. She can't find the three-year-old anywhere. And before she runs outside, you know, you're just like, yeah, as a parent, you're thinking, I gotta make sure they're not in the street.
Yeah.
She looks at the monitor to make sure the baby's okay. And she sees the three-year-old staring over the baby's bed, the baby's crib. And she's like, oh my gosh, what is happening? So she runs up and stops at the door because her three-year-old is talking. And the three-year-old's saying to the newborn, quick, remind me what heaven is like. I'm starting to forget.
Oh, we have never heard this story. I have never heard this story. I'm starting to forget.
I'm starting to forget. And so there is this sense that we all come from where every good thing comes from.
Yeah.
We all come from the heart and the mind of God. And we come here and our work is to remember where we came from.
Yeah.
And to remember that because of who Jesus is, because of God's heart, to not leave us as we are in this broken world, we're called back home.
Yeah.
We're all on our way back home. And so I think kids, there's something about kids. They're closer to where we came from and to where we're going back to than us. And maybe that's why God tells us to be like kids. Emily the other day said, she was telling me something and I couldn't hear her. Classic mom's peeing on the toilet and through the door situation.
Yes.
So I was like, wait, Emily, I can't, I didn't hear what you said. Can you say that again a little louder? And she goes, it's okay, mom, I'll tell you when you're younger. And I was like, wait, what? Are you being sassy? Like, in the world? Right. You're telling me when I'm, but I'm, wait, I'm only ever, so do you mean you're never going to tell me?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, mom, when you're younger, remember, God's going to come back and make everything new when you're young again.
Oh my I'll tell you gosh. Then.
And I was just like, that, what in the world? Yeah. Yeah. In one sense, we're all going to be younger one day.
Yeah. That is an unbelievable thing for her to say.
Isn't that amazing?
That is so sweet.
And so it's such, there is this beautiful spirit of wonder and magic that is around this season that I think we're all built for. That waiting and that anticipation for Christmas morning, it taps into really what all music taps into, which the structure of music, I heard Dr. Jeremy Begbie say this, is that you start off in a key, you go home, and then you go away, and then you go home.
Yeah.
Again. So, I mean, he's a classical pianist, but he would play, Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as
snow. And it's right there. It's that same spot.
But if you just stop as white as, everything in you is leaning forward.
Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah.
Go home
to
the key.
Yeah.
And so the structure of music, even if there's not words, it taps into the story that all of us are living. We start off home.
Right.
We're currently away.
Yeah.
And we all long to go back
home. I've heard some people talking about this literally right now on the internet about where we were before we were here and if we were before we were here.
Yeah.
Because if we are eternal beings, if our spirits are eternal beings, that isn't just eternal forward, that's eternal backwards.
Yeah.
Is that what theology says to you?
Yeah, it
I
does.
I think so.
I love the mystery of that.
I do too.
I think, you know, there's like, it is bigger. That is the question that I keep asking right now. I'm like, what if God is bigger than I even thought? What does that mean? What does that look like? And that kind of mystery, like thinking like, what have we always been? I mean, water is the same way. It's been like, you think about the water, it's like, oh, the water that when God was like, hey, separate the land and the water.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been here.
Yeah.
And we're like, whatever, how much of our percentage is water?
Gosh,
anyway,
right.
So there's just this beautiful ancient arc of things that has been here and that will be, that I love.
Yeah.
That is really beautiful. The kind of bigness and the mysteriousness of that and the way God plays into all of that is deeply calming for me.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Krista Tippett a lot. She has a podcast called On Being, and she talks about she's doing this foundational series right now. And one of the foundations of like their sort of group and their thinking is asking how we tell the generative narrative of our time.
Wow.
And she talks about how we're wired, our brains are wired, you know, to remember the negative. Like we live in a chaotic, broken world. That is
true.
Yeah. But that's only part of the truth, because every single day there are beautiful, ordinary moments happening.
Yeah.
Beautiful moments of love and of kindness, people making beautiful things and doing beautiful work that matters in classrooms and in homes and in podcast studios and in restaurants. There are meals being served and conversations being had and selfless acts of kindness being done all over the globe. And our brains are wired to remember, I think she said it takes 3 seconds for us to remember something negative.
Wow.
To go to long-term memory.
Yeah.
But 30 to 90.
Oh my gosh.
For us to remember the good.
Jeez.
And so what does it look like to ponder and notice and really take in the good and the beauty that we see? And what would that look like? And I think that's honestly part of what I think making room in the Advent season is making space to remember.
For those 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is good. Yes. And I'm so grateful that you're doing this every day of giving us an invitation to ponder the beauty and the hope and the good.
Yeah. Does Krista Tippett talk about her faith life?
I think in a lot of different ways in conversations.
Yeah.
Yes. You kind of hear like snippets of it.
Yeah.
I've never heard her snippets of tippets.
Yeah, that's it.
I've never heard her
testimony.
Explicitly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Tell
me either.
Her story, but grew up in the tradition of Christianity.
Yeah. And because she certainly makes cosmos out of chaos, as Madeline L'Engle says. Right.
Oh,
so I'm like, she does sacred work. I wonder if she knows she does sacred work.
Yeah,
you know?
I hope so. Because I love so many of the conversations that she has. And, you know, the question that she leads with so often is, what is your spiritual upbringing?
Yeah.
Like, what's the spiritual sort of fingerprint that was on your childhood?
Yeah.
Because I think if we can go back to childhood, you go again back to that innocence and story of where we came from and the broken parts and the beautiful parts and the parts that bewildered you and the parts that brought you out into the mystery.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
And that part of Christmas, too, is it's like there is for a lot of us this feeling of the cord resolving at Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that is why we love Hallmark Christmas movies, is because they're easy to digest and they resolve.
Yeah,
like
it does
even if
feel
they're
really
cheesy
good.
And even if they're whatever, who cares? Because they resolve, and it's what you wish was happening in your life too. Whether you're single or married with kids or whatever, you wish your life was resolving in 1 hour and 58 minutes too, right?
Oh my goodness!
Don't we feel that, right? I feel that, and so
I feel it so deeply.
The homeness of that for some of us, and then there's other parts of us, like you were just saying, of like. When we get to the holidays, it isn't peaceful. It isn't hopeful because that isn't where we found home. That's not where it was safe. That's not where it was good, right?
So times, yeah.
For so many, and for the majority of us, both.
Yeah, both in.
Both. And so when I'm thinking about Sounding Joy, your book, and your Sing Christmas Songs album, like talk to me about raising kids at Christmas when you – everyone, to some degree, has a complicated history with being raised by people at Christmas.
So great. Yeah, it has been, it is a lot to navigate. There's a lot out there to do.
Yes.
There's a lot that they're catching
from
movies and conversations
at
school with their friends and their peers. So I think the one thing that has, or well, there's a couple things that have been really beautiful. Sally Lloyd-Jones, I love the Jesus Storybook Bible.
I love her
so much.
I just saw her say it's in like 60 languages or something.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
Praise be to God.
That's it.
I mean,
right.
You know, because it is, you know, and she has the the sort of grown-up version of the Jesus Storybook Bible, Every Story Whispers His Name, is the story of God's love.
And what's the other one that you like so much? The
Thoughts That Make Your Heart
Sing. I always think of you when I think of that book.
It is. That's what inspired me. That's the conversation that launched my whole book writing thing was because she said, in the beginning, God sang the earth into being and set the whole universe dancing for the joy of it. And she pointed me to that Tim Keller sermon. Anyway, so she did not intend for this to be the way, but I think it's like 25 to 26 stories from the very beginning of the Jesus Storybook Bible to the Christmas story.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I did not know that this would be
a
rhythm. Yes. I didn't design it for Advent, but it is a really wonderful thing. So we always read through that, make ornaments for each story.
Oh, sweet.
And put them up on a little paper tree on our bathroom door downstairs. Yeah. And that has been, I think, making space to ponder the story of Christmas has been really beautiful. There's a couple other things that traditions that we've done to kind of just bring that like sense of awe and wonder, and then also bring a sense of the biggest gift that any of us have ever received is the love of God, is the Christmas story that he came into this broken world so we can know that we're not alone. So there's one thing that we've used. It's called the Giving Manger.
Yeah.
It is really a beautiful story. It's a little manger full of straw.
Yeah.
And it has been a really beautiful way to talk about how we can share the love and the light. And every time we share, we do something kind for a neighbor, for each other, you put a little straw in the manger.
Oh, sweet.
And it feels like a tangible way to make room for the story of God, the story of Jesus, of his son coming here. And then also this beautiful truth that we get swept up into that story that's so much bigger than ourselves. And so that has been really beautiful. There's also something called the Manger Mission. And this sounds so funny, but it just, there's a lot to, I don't know, there's a lot of other things that we do. We go and we meet Santa. We go and see the lights at Cheekwood. We do a lot of other, the Polar Express. There's so many other like wonderful things to go do.
Yeah.
So we kind of incorporate, I'm definitely a both and person. Oh, so we're doing
We're doing all of it.
But it has been a really, the Manger Mission, you take these, there, you set up a little nativity and then you take the three wise men and to kind of enter that adventure of following where God leads of following the light and then being a light bearer.
Wow.
They hide the three wise men, and you could do this with anything. They have a little set and a book that goes with it, but you could just do it with any nativity. They take the three wise men and they hide them in the furthest place away in the house.
Oh, wow.
And every single night they move them a little bit closer to the manger, and to, back to the nativity, and so there is this anticipation that builds in them. They love putting them in funny places.
Oh, sure.
And now
it's
we're going to
elf on the shelf.
It's
version.
An elf on the shelf version with the gospel story, which is beautiful. But now we're going to have to hide them from Dolly because she eats everything known to man.
And
so
she's big.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to have to keep
get
them. They're going to have to take the high road.
Yes. They're taking the road over Jericho. Yes, that's right.
But they move those. And it is really sweet because on Christmas morning, that is actually one of the first things that they want to go do.
Is go bring them.
to the little manger.
Why is that so sweet?
It's been really sweet. So those are just like some practical ways of doing that. And then I saw, are you doing the Samaritan's Purse, the
Operation Christmas Child.
Child? That's been also a really beautiful way, I think, to tie kids into what I really want them to know is that they're part of a global story.
Yeah.
That God is moving not just here in our neighborhood and among our neighbors, but all over the world, and that there's different stories that he's writing everywhere, and to see other kids and other places that may not have as much as they are, and to be a part of bringing some Christmas joy to that feels so beautiful. So I love that you're doing that.
You know what I love is this year you can build them online, build the boxes online.
Okay.
And so you're like, okay, great. And also we can be sure it's stuff the kids actually need and want. You know,
because I'm
like,
exactly
did
right.
I just pack eight pair of socks and they don't want socks?
They don't want socks. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, what I hear you saying is one of the ways y'all have found to do Christmas well is to let activities lead the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Versus letting the conversation lead and then activities follow. You're like, no, we're going to go do, and then maybe Huck will ask a question. Or maybe Rivers or maybe Emmy Lou will ask a question that will give us the conversation of how to talk about this season well.
And I mean, isn't that... I don't know. It feels like a really embodied way.
Yeah.
to do the Christmas season. And kids are so in their bodies. I mean, I'm like learning how to talk to Rivers and to say, oh, it looks like your body's really upset right now or really sad or really frustrated right now. How can we calm your body down and have, you know, this conversation? It's been such beautiful language. He's in some occupational therapy right now. And I've gotten so many beautiful tools that I laugh because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm learning how to talk to my son slash myself.
Meaning me. Meaning, totally.
This is what I needed to hear. This is what I needed to do is to take a couple of deep breaths. And I love what Ann Voskamp says she says in, I can't remember the name of her Christmas book now. Do you know the name of it?
Gifts?
It's really?
Well, you keep talking, we'll look it up.
Okay, look
up Ann
Voskamp. A Thousand Gifts? I'm like, I don't think that's right, but it's close. It's such a wonderful
book. The Greatest Gift?
The Greatest Gift.
Am I right? I'm making that up. Let me make sure. Let me fact check myself.
Fact check.
The kids one is called Unwrapping the Greatest Gift.
Unwrapping the Greatest Gift.
And then there is an adult one called The Greatest Gift. And they are both amazing.
They're both incredible. Yeah. So in the adult one, in The Greatest Gift, she says, I don't want a Christmas I can buy. I don't want a Christmas I can make.
Yeah.
I want a Christmas I can hold. A Christmas that holds me.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I love how embodied that is.
Yes.
Of just like, what does it look like? I mean, we go and do a lot, but also I think more during the Advent season, we make room around the table. We light the little Advent candles, which that's always really fun for the kids to do. But I think we make a little bit more. We make room. We prepare room to hold this mysterious, crazy, wild story. And I will say, like, one of my favorite things that we do, and I'll never forget being nine, at a friend's house, invited our family over to do a chili carol night.
Yeah.
Kids were playing hide and go seek, fed a bunch of people chili, and then all of us gathered in this room, grandparents talented tiny little babies, and they had instruments in the room.
Yeah.
And they passed out little books, and we started singing Christmas carols. And all of our voices were mingling together. Everybody's shouting out their favorite Christmas carol. Oh, let's sing this one, let's sing this. And there was something in nine-year-old me that knew, that was marked in me that night.
Really?
I was like, we are made to do this. We are made to sing together. And so that is probably my favorite Christmas tradition that we do is usually on Christmas Eve, we gather with some neighborhood friends, have chili. It is a joyful noise.
Yeah.
It is total chaos, but pass out kazoos and shakers and bells and have little Christmas books that I have. Actually, I'm doing them on my website because I want people to do this because there is something that happens when we sing together that for me helps me remember.
Yeah.
And I think it helps us remember, A, that we're not alone. Chords in and of themselves are communal. And they work together to make something beautiful.
Yes.
And so, but I love the idea. We were, and this is where the book came from. It was at a chili carol night 2 years ago that we were singing, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. And I'm like, what? First of all, what does joy sound like? Which I feel like is a great question for this podcast.
Question.
I want to hear what joy sounds like to you in just a second. So I'll give you time to think. What does joy sound like? And then what does it mean for us to repeat the sounding joy? What does it mean for us to live in such a way that we reflect the light that shone from that star that night that shines from the light of the world, Jesus? What does it mean for us to carry that, to be the hope people, to walk into our lives day in and day out and repeat the joy that we have because we know that there is ultimately resolve.
Yes,
One day, even though right now, and sometimes Christmas can be so hard because you're missing people or your life doesn't look like you thought it would this time of year again. But even in the midst of that unresolve, there is a one day coming. God has come and he's coming again. And we can know that we all are going home one day.
Yeah.
And I think Christmas reminds us that we're made for that. We're made to go home and that one day we'll all be there together and we'll be singing.
We'll still be repeating
the sounding joy.
I mean, I love that you did that because I think so much we sing Christmas hymns and we do not think about them.
Oh, yeah. And you're playing in the air all around us.
And we have sang repeat the sounding joy and never one time gone, what's the sounding joy?
What is the sounding joy?
And I just looked up the lyrics. I wanted to make sure I said them right. To joy to the world. Because I love this as he rules the world with truth and grace. Right? And I'm always like, we just sing that and never go like, oh, King of Kings, he rules the world with truth and grace. Like, he rules the world. We're good. He rules the world with truth and grace. One of the things I love about your book, Sounding Joy, is it just, it does exactly what you said, where it mixes, here's what it's like today, laughter and music and s'mores, and here's what the angels heard and sang, and here's what the shepherds heard. And I love how it goes from like our backyard to Bethlehem in like a page turn.
It does. Maybe I'll get to do that with you on a plane one day.
Oh, right.
Actually,
that's
turn the page
in my
to do.
I'm going to turn your page to Bethlehem.
But it is, I did really want it to be both and, because that's God, right?
Yeah.
He's both and this life is both heavy, chaotic, crazy.
Yes.
It feels divided, but it's also beautiful and lovely and full of community and points of connection and healing and hope.
Yeah.
And so I love that you said that, because that is genuinely my hope was to have both.
Yes, because you can literally go and see the shepherd's field in Israel.
It's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy. It is crazy.
It's a real story. It happened in a real time, in a real place, and it changed everything. It changed everything.
Are your kids in this one?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see Emmy Lou.
They're playing hide and go seek, and guess what? Our dog made it in, too.
No.
She's in the forest scene.
But there she is.
I'm so grateful.
Oh, here they are on the hide and go seek page. Yeah. Yep. So everybody's there. So that's Emmy Lou.
Yep. That's Emmy
Lou. Emmy Lou sitting under a tree. And then Huck is running around.
Oh, yeah.
And then Rivers is laid down back there
with the fox.
With the fox. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. And then Dolly Parton.
And Dolly Parton.
And a skunk. I'll tell you what, Laura Ramos, your illustrator, she knows what we know in Mini BFF Book Club. Kids love animals.
The more
animals you put in a book, the happier our Mini BFFs are.
Oh my goodness, it's amazing. And honestly, I love the emails that go back and forth with an illustrator for a children's book. You know it.
Yes,
you know
it. Isn't it hilarious?
But I'm like, okay, I think the animals need more winter accessories. Definitely more. So I think there's not an animal, except in Bethlehem. That was the one distinction. I was like, I guess the lambs in Bethlehem can't have winter accessories.
Yes.
But in this current time.
They're so sweet, though. I mean, the shepherds in Bethlehem have on the cutest sandals.
I know.
Ellie, they have on the cutest sandals. Oh, my gosh. I love this book so much.
It is. There is a lot
of
light.
There's doves. It's not. Yeah. And kitties. Okay. I got to quit. I would do this on every page. But yes, everywhere else, the animals have on winter wear. Hey friends, just taking a quick break from this conversation to tell you about another one of our amazing partners, Stamps.com. Stamps.com is all about keeping the holiday season full of J-O-Y, joy, for us small business owners, not full of dread about having to fight traffic, getting the post office, or rushing to package gifts to your loyal clients and then waiting in line instead of spending time with the people that you love. It's not too late to get your holiday mailing and shipping under control with Stamps.com. Sign up now and you'll be printing your own postage in minutes. Stamps.com has been invaluable for over 1 million businesses for the last 20 years. You get access to the USPS and UPS services you need to run your business right from your computer. No lines, no traffic, no hassle, and you can even save money with major discounts on USPS and UPS shipping rates, like up to 86% off, you guys. It saves you time, money, and stress. Just use Stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and a printer, and if you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through your Stamps.com dashboard. With rates constantly changing. Stamps.com switch and save feature allows you to easily compare carriers and rates so you know you're getting the best deal every time. And if you're running an online store, Stamps.com works seamlessly with all other major shopping carts and marketplaces, including Shopify, the one that we use here. This holiday season, trade late nights for silent nights and get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with the promo code ThatSoundsFun for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code ThatSoundsFun. And I want to tell you about one last incredible partner, ZocDoc. Okay, does fitting everything that you need to get done into your calendar in ways that still allow for rest and fun seem impossible this time of year? Not to mention that if you like need an appointment, trying to coordinate someone else's availability with your own adds a whole nother layer of complexity, right? And usually when we need to see a doctor, it's not like a, sure, it can wait a few months type of situation. Well, with ZocDoc, booking an appointment with a doctor that suits your needs, fits your schedule, and is in your network and in your neighborhood is actually easy. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, takes your insurance, and are available when you need them. They have all the specialists, and their mobile app is easy as Lillian makes it look to get lunch for our whole team. You can search, find, and book doctors with just a few taps. And you've got the benefit of reviews from verified patients, from real people who have made real appointments. And now when you walk into that doctor's office, you know you can trust them. So go to ZocDoc.com, find the doctor that is right for you, and book an appointment in person or remotely that works for your schedule. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc, including me. It's my go-to whenever I need to find and book a quality doctor. So go to ZocDoc.com/ThatSoundsFun and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/ThatSoundsFun. ZocDoc.com/ThatSoundsFun.
Yo, this is Donovan Donnell of Imagine Faith Talk, the podcast. And what sounds fun to me this Christmas is my family's annual 12 Days of Christmas competition. Every Christmas Eve, we get together, we pull numbers, and we form teams. Teams that are going to sing one specific day of Christmas. And then as we practice as teammates, we come together as a collective, and we all try to make it through the entire 12 days of Christmas without messing up, but also highlighting our day to be the best day out of all 12. It is the most hilarious thing because we're trying to make other people mess up. And while trying to make them mess up, we miss our own lines, and we record this whole thing, watch it over and over again afterwards, and it's the most fun and hilarious and incredibly bonding time we have every single year. That sounds fun.
And now back to finish up our conversation with Ellie.
It's been amazing. I wish that I could have filmed the first time Rivers interacted with the book.
Yeah.
My youngest. He was just in every... I was like, this is kid tested.
Yeah.
But my hope is that it really creates... That it's two things. That it's sort of like, you know, a fire for families to gather around.
Yes.
To kind of create, in the busy, fun, hustle bustle of Christmas, like a Linus moment.
Yeah.
A moment to really gather.
A Luke 2 moment. Yep.
Around the beauty and the light of the gospel.
Yes.
And then two, that it would be an invitation. And there's music, of course, that we released just recently.
Yes.
It came out November 1st. But that it would be an invitation to gather with the people that you love, kids from 1 to 92, and sing for the joy that we have because of the Christmas story.
Yeah.
It's a really good reason to sing.
Yes.
So.
Speaking of so the album is called Sing Christmas Songs. Mm-hmm. The book is called Sounding Joy. One of our questions that came in, you know, we ask our friends, you know, Ellie's coming, do you have any questions for her? And one of them was, are you ever going to record your scriptures that you sing?
Oh, I very much hope so.
I hope so too. I think I get asked Ellie.
Almost every time I post something, like, when are you making an album of these? And I haven't had time yet.
You're like, dear everybody, three of me.
Yes, I will.
Yes.
But that is a sincere hope of mine. And it is so interesting. I love that when... We referenced this in the Tim Keller thing before, but that when God made the earth, it's written in the form of an archaic Hebrew poem.
Yeah.
It says, if he sang it into being. And it's because he made every single one of us to sing the song of his goodness with our lives and with our voices.
Yes.
And so it is a really beautiful thing because when... when I sing, it helps me believe.
Yeah.
I can be full of, have you ever walked into church on a day where you're just like, I don't know, half the time I walk into church and it's chaos. You're just getting everybody all together in the car, or you're carrying this heaviness or the chaos of your week. And you're like, the last thing that I do is feel like singing right now. I'm like, everybody's praising and up, and I'm like, I don't know. But there is something about hearing the timbre of other people's voices, even when I can't sometimes muster the courage to sing myself.
Yes.
That feels like an invitation to remember we came from, to remember what we're made for.
Yes.
And so it's been a really beautiful thing to sit in God's word and sing it. And it helps it, if it's paired with a melody, it sinks deeper in for some reason with me. So
just hear me say, it doesn't have to be super profesh. It doesn't have to be a whole song. Just throwing those on it on the same playlist for us.
I love it. Yeah, make a playlist.
I just would love. I mean, I love listening to them.
Thank you.
So you do such a beautiful job of bringing scripture to life, and you know, so much of the people's ability to memorize scripture. These scriptures I know best are the ones I sang with GT in the Halo Express
100%.
When I was a kid.
100%.
I mean, I can run across verses and be like, I haven't read that in 15 years, but I can sing that for you.
I know. Okay, so Annie, that is literally such a beautiful reason. Sing with your children.
Yes.
Sing with your kids, because those songs that you sing as little kids stick in the heart. Rivers, in his little prayer today, we sing all the time. I mean, he loves everything strong. He loves singing about God being big. He's bigger than any bad guy.
Yeah.
And in his little prayer, we sing, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And in his little prayer, he's saying, God, you're so big and strong and mighty. Aww. And these songs that we sing with our kids are the things that get written on their hearts.
Yes.
And they get written in our hearts as adults too.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of giving our kids songs to sing that carry truths that will carry them all the days of their lives.
Yes, that's it. You've done it. You do it. Oh, you're such a gift, Ellie.
Thank you.
What did we not say that you want to make sure we say?
You have not told me what joy sounds like to you.
Oh, what does joy sound like to me? Do you know what does joy sound like to me? I love... Well, you know, I love kids laughing. So if I can, the other night, Zanna Barnes, the daughter, the middle one, has suddenly found me to be very funny. Like, it's like, I met her the day she came out of my friend Annie. And she has suddenly in the last month decided I'm very funny. And listening to her go get on a roll, that's what joy sounds like. Like when she gets giggling and I don't have to do very much and she can't control herself, it makes me so happy.
Oh, I love that so
I know. I think something shifted when I went to Disney with them.
Ooh.
I think living 24/7 with someone for a couple of days shifted something for her. I can't quite get my mind around it, but that's it's been since that. I think
Annie.
It just feels different to her because I was on vacation with them. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what joy sounds like.
I love that. I love that. Man, I love that. And if you're listening and I don't know, I would love for you to tell us what joy sounds like to you in the comments.
Yes.
I think too, when we ask questions like that, it helps us notice. On my voicemail right now, Emily Lou, she was redoing my voicemail.
Yeah.
And if you call me, it'll be like, hey, this is my mom's phone. Please before leave her a message and tell her the most beautiful thing you've seen today.
Oh my gosh, Emily Lou.
And
of course she did.
I love that. But what does joy sound like? And I think when you ask questions, Krista Tippett says this, when you ask generous questions, they'll be generous back with you.
Yeah.
And so there is a sense of when you ask a question, you begin to notice.
Yes.
I don't know, notice and pay attention in a way that you might not. So pay attention to the joy that is sounding all around you. Take it in for 30 to 90 seconds.
Yes. Live with it.
Live with it and let it. And let your life be a reminder that there is a generative story that God is writing, that there is a kingdom that is coming here on earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven. I'm ready. I want it. I feel it. Christmas gives us tastes of it, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It reminds us. Yeah.
Ellie, as always, I can't wait to hear people answer Sounding Joy to us. But because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me also what sounds fun to you right now.
So much sounds fun to me, Annie. I have a hard time answering this.
I know.
Because I want to do everything. Drew started calling me extra.
started. This has just started.
It's just started. He was like, that's your nickname, Extra. I was like, what? But it really is my fault. I tried to fit in. We did the UT homecoming weekend.
Was that just the coolest thing ever?
Amazing.
Yes.
This is not answering your question at all.
No, keep going. I literally was like,
I think after the football game, we can fit in a quick trip to Dollywood and then on the way back, stop by a pumpkin patch and then do Boo at the Zoo when we get there. And he was like, no, ma'am. No. We did all but Dollywood.
I was going to say, did you get to go to Dollywood? No. You got to go at Christmas, though. It's beautiful.
That's what I do want to do. Well, that's my thing. That sounds fun to me, to go to Dollywood at Christmas.
It is the best.
I do want to see all the lights.
The lines are so much shorter.
Okay.
The roller coasters are colder because you're going very fast in winter.
Yeah, but then I bet they have cider and stuff to warm you right up.
All sorts of treats. The cinnamon bread is warm all the way through the middle.
This is our year to do it. We have a dog named Dolly Parton.
Yeah, you've got
to
go.
And we know all of the Christmas gifts that we're getting her because Dolly Parton, the week after we got a dog and named her Dolly Parton, the year that we met Dolly Parton in person,
which is
not casual and still, I can't get over it. But she released a line of dog things.
Like treats and outfits.
Outfits, chew toys.
Great.
So
you already know what Dolly's getting. Your Dolly.
Okay. I know what my Dolly's getting. Yeah.
Your kids at Dollywood at Christmas, it's next level. Santa's there.
Oh my
Santa
goodness.
Santa does a really cool thing where you write a letter and you mail it while you're there.
What?
And then when you go see him, you see whether you see your name on the letter. He's writing you back.
What?
It is adorable. Oh, it's adorable. Goodness.
Okay,
yeah.
So that sounds fun.
They've
to me.
Nailed it. Yeah, Dollywood, always.
Let's do it.
Ellie, love you. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. It's my favorite thing.
It's
I'm like, do you
want
to come to Dollywood with us?
Yes, actually. Technically, I do.
Come in and text you
so
when we
let's go.
Go.
Yeah. Oh, friends, isn't she just the best? Okay, you're going to want to get her book, Sounding Joy, and gift it to all the mini BFFs in your life and listen to sing Christmas songs wherever you love streaming music. In fact, if you've been listening to our TSF Advent playlist over on Spotify, you might just recognize some of the songs from this album because they are there. Speaking of, it is not too late to get in on our Advent series. You can take time this weekend to catch up or you can just jump in with us. Once you buy it, it's yours. So who says you can't watch Advent devotionals in January too? All the details are at anniefdowns.com/advent and I really hope that you'll join us. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the places you may need me. That's how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me, well, I'm still loving World Cup soccer, so you know that's what sounds fun to me, watching some more soccer matches. Y'all have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow as we finish out our Advent series, Week on Peace. We'll see y'all then.